Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 64 of season 5 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Nick Rehak of the Lyrical Innuendo. Welcome back to the show, Nick.
Thank you for having me back.
Want to see whether you were right about your question yesterday, the trivia question that I left you with yesterday. So, we'll have to see
You
if
and
you're.
me both. I'm very excited.
Well, I know the answer. You don't. You've been waiting for
That's
24
true.
hours.
With bated breath.
Of course, of course. So, minute 64 begins with the two helicopters landing and ends with Grant giving John a suspicious look. So yesterday we basically ended things with two helicopters on approach towards Dulles. We had all the people go out into what looks like a really, really cold area. Lorenzo, Windy also, because Lorenzo's got to hold on to his hat. And then we see these two helicopters show up, and this minute begins with the helicopters basically landing. They do land a nice distance apart. The door opens up. And out comes someone who looks like a commander. And if when you look closely, you get to see that it's actually John Amos. John Amos. Do you recognize him from anything else?
I recognize him oddly enough from The West Wing. So in this film, he's playing a major. In The West Wing, he's playing an admiral. So it's nice to see him get promoted to higher up offices. I've also
A few
seen
years
him.
later, right?
Was it? Yeah, a few years later, Coming to America. Some other films. He's one of those actors where anytime I see him, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna enjoy the moments that he's on screen. He's just one of those actors that just I'm excited to see.
Yeah. So he was born on December 27th, 1939, which means that as of today he is 84 years old, almost 84. He's 83. He'll be 84 later this year. Now what I recognized him from when this movie came out was the TV show Good Times. He was on the he played the father. James Evans Sr. for the first two seasons of the TV show, or three seasons of the show, until he got into a contract dispute, and he thought he was much more he thought he was needed much more for the show than the showrunners did, and they decided to fire him, and they killed off his character. So it's not only
That's one way to do
that it's not only that you're not going to be able to. That we're cutting you out of it for now. We're cutting you out. You're never coming back. You're dead. You're dead to me. That type of
Just
thing.
gone.
Yeah.
Get out of
So
here.
I remember when this movie came out, seeing him, and that's what shocked me the most, because I thought of him from there. Yes, he was in Coming to America just the year before. But I guess at the time I didn't make as much of a connection. On IMDb he has 117 credits, and
Wow.
goes really far back. I mean, he's still acting in things. He has three things from 2022. So he hasn't given up the profession yet. And he started
Well,
actually
good.
in 1970, and his first appearance was on the Bill Cosby show, on the TV show from the 1970s.
Okay.
Yeah. And I actually I saw him recently in on a movie called a TV movie called The President's Plane is Missing from 1973. He plays a Marine corporal, and like I saw him in that. He has like a very small part, and it just I was like, wow, that's John Amos. But I think he's great in this movie because he plays a very tough character, which is something that we're not used to seeing him play. He's a very formal,
He plays it well,
yes, he
though.
plays it really well. And we get an overall an overhead shot of these soldiers walking towards these group of people that have come out to greet them, right? And you can see at least nine soldiers that have come out of these two helicopters. Now that doesn't answer the question that I asked you yesterday. All right, so the The answer is, how many people can you fit into a Huey helicopter? And the answer is 13. Okay, you can fit 13 people in there, including the crew of three. Okay, so basically it's 10 passengers.
Okay.
10 passengers and the crew of three. You have the pilot, the co-pilot, and the flight engineer. Okay. The interesting thing is that, you know, we're going to find out in this minute how many people they've sent to go help out here. Right. And so at this point, you know, we see at least six men coming out of each of the helicopters. And then, you know, Major Grant joins the group and says, Major Grant, we're blue light. Okay. Do you have any idea what blue light is?
The only thing I can think of is the blue light special at Kmart, but I'm going to assume it has nothing to do with that.
And you would be correct. Okay, so blue light is actually the name of an American counterterrorist subunit of the 5th Special Forces Group that existed all the way up into the late 70s.
Hmm.
Okay, it was formed by the Army Special Forces. Okay, and they used it up until Delta Force became operational. Remember earlier this week we talked about the Delta Force started in 1977.
Right.
Basically, what this means, and you know, we asked the question earlier this week, who would they have called? So basically, they're calling Delta Force. That's basically the answer.
Okay. All right, I'll buy that.
You know, but what's interesting is this movie takes place in 1990, so Blue Light was no longer in existence, but they were still using Delta Force.
Okay.
So it's interesting that they still, I guess they wanted to use the designation Blue Light because, you know, they don't want to make it seem as if Delta Force is going to be doing something that they shouldn't be doing later on in this movie. So they're just using a real name for something that is no longer in existence.
It does sound cool, though, to pop out and say we're Blue Light, and because yes, it feels like a code or a project or something that you just don't know. You said Delta Force, like, all right, like I have an idea and everything, but to hit them with that, it's like, oh, it just seems really cool.
Right. So the term blue light, that no one knows why they called this unit the blue light. It could just be that it was a randomly chosen code name, or what it could mean is to blue light someone in the Army, okay, is a verb. And it means to detect a contact with radar.
Huh.
Metaphorically suggesting the ability to discover the enemy's hiding place. So that sounds even cooler, if you think about it from that perspective.
It really does, especially when sometimes the enemy's just hiding in plain sight, you know?
Yeah, that's right. So I like the fact that you know, that there is something possibly behind the idea of using the term blue light, you know, for that.
I do like that.
Then you have, you know, one of the government guys move forward and goes, Rollins, Department of Justice. So, like, we knew that Department of Justice was there because we had them, you know, waiting around for Esperanza's plane to show up. So I guess it sort of makes sense. Now, what's interesting is that you can – there is a credit for this guy named Rollins. Okay, it's played by an actor named Charles Lanier, who passed away in 2020. He was born in 1942, so he was 80 when he passed away. He had only 35 credits as an actor. Most of them, obviously, very small parts. He was on NYPD Blue for one episode also.
Okay.
Some of them were – he was on Moonlighting. He played a lawyer on Moonlighting at some point also.
All right. So like a lot of background, there's borderline nothing, character stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing here that really jumps out. I mean, he was on two episodes of St. Elsewhere – and three episodes of Robert Kennedy and His Times. He was on a lot of TV shows. You know, but he didn't... The Greatest American Hero. You ever seen that TV show?
I don't believe so, no.
No, you would like it. It's about this guy who gets a suit from an alien that turns him into a superhero.
Okay, that sounds kind of cool.
And he has, like, a lot of trouble because he doesn't know how to fly properly. So he's always like, you know, waving his arms and crashing into things and stuff like that.
Okay.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun. So yeah, I mean, he has this one line where he introduces himself and just says Rollins, Department of Justice, and that's it. But he got his credit for it, so why not?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. And then Trudeau steps forward and goes, Trudeau, Chief of Air Operations. Now, I mean, we've talked about this earlier. We were trying to figure out what Trudeau's, title was. What is he doing there? We just thought he was the head of the airport and stuff like that. But now we know that the official term is a Chief of Air Operations. How much do you think someone nowadays gets paid for that type of job? And annually, what would you say?
Operations, one per airport, maybe two. I'm going to throw out on a limb and say $130,000 a year.
Nope. It's anywhere between $202,000 and $223,000.
Good for this particular night. Job. That is a lot.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, think about it. It's the guy who's running the entire airport. So I can sort of understand that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Because that's a lot too, especially if you get those bigger. I'm sure you get to those higher numbers when you get to like an international airport or one of the big ones, you know what I mean? Like Atlanta or Denver or New York or something like that, because those are just monstrosities. Right. Huge.
That's right. And then Lorenzo, steps up and says, Lorenzo, Terminal Police, you want something? You got it. And then John just looks at them and goes, this is it? One platoon? which is pretty funny. You know, he's...
Yeah, just throwing it out there. Just annoyed. He's just immediately annoyed.
He's like, that's what you're sending here for this thing? This is... You know, you need more than one platoon here.
Yeah.
And then Grant...
hear me?
That's right. And then Grant turns to him and goes, one crisis, one platoon. Who are you? John McClane. He goes, McClane, you showed some balls out there, man. Yeah. Now show some good sense to let the pros handle this. So what does he mean by you showed some balls out there? Like, what is he talking about?
I guess he is maybe referring to Nakatomi Plaza, because every chance this film gets to bring up Nakatomi Plaza, they do it. Even on Holly's folder on the plane, it says Nakatomi on it. It's like... We know what he did before. Like, just keep going. Move on. Like, don't keep bringing it up. This is a new movie, new people.
Okay. My interpretation of it is a little different. I think he's actually referring to what John did to try and save the people on the plane. But then how would he know this? But how would he know this information? You know, what do you mean you showed some balls out there? You showed some balls because you stood out there, you know, waving, flaming... flaming pieces of sticks. Exactly. That, why is that showing balls? You know, because I don't know. It's just very, but then he goes, and then he like backhandedly, you know, makes fun of him by saying, now show some good sense and let the pros handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning that what you did was stupid. We know what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're the pros and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then John.
Nice try, kiddo. Just go sit down.
That's right. Exactly. And then John says something that's even crazier. He goes, isn't Colonel Stewart one of your men? How would John know that? You don't get like police army hierarchy. You know, they didn't have people going on the internet then and saying, oh, who's the boss of who? You know, I mean, John knows about Stewart, and he knows, you know, who he was, because he's supposed to be like the Ali North of this movie, or this movie's world, or whatever it is. So he knows that. But how would he know who Oliver North's, you know, boss was? Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that is rather weird.
And
unless then, somehow he had met them prior, because he talks about how, you know, I was in L.A., I was out in New York, so maybe somehow their paths cross.
I doubt it.
I'm not sure.
No, I doubt it. I'm sorry to burst your bubble on that one. I don't think they've ever met.
Hey, no, I'm fine.
You know. And then, I mean, Grant's response is even crazier. He goes, no, not anymore. He's not. Okay. Yeah. Now we're here to take Colonel Stewart down. And we will take him down. You see, I served with him. I taught him everything he knows. And then John looks at him and says under his breath and goes, well, maybe he's learned a few more things since then. And then Grant looks at him and goes, turns and like makes a smirking expression on his face. And then he turns to his men and goes, let's hustle. And then he turns back to John for a fraction of a second. And you can see that his eyes, you know, he's eyeing John in a very strange way.
Yeah. Really intense.
Yes. Very intense.
But you know what? These guys are intense and they're so confident because when they get out of these helicopters, nobody is ducking. Nobody. They just walk right out and right into the conversation. You know how most movies you see characters like they're kind of ducking a little bit in case, I guess, something goes awry with one of their propellers. He doesn't. He's just gone. He's out there. He's letting them know, hey, the boss is here. I'll handle it from there.
That's right. Right. So, I mean, they mentioned a platoon. Do you know how many men are in a platoon? Do you have any idea?
Ooh. I want to say 12, but I'm going to say 10.
Okay, so a platoon is anywhere between it's usually anywhere between 20 and 50 men, but it could be a minimum of 10 also.
Way off.
No, it could be a 10 also. You know, it depends on the country and different ways and stuff like that. You usually have a junior officer who's the platoon leader, and you know Grant is definitely a senior officer here. You know, that type of thing. And the term platoon was first used in the 17th century when it was referring to a small body of musketeers who fired together in a volley alternating with another platoon. Okay. It comes from the French word peloton, which means a small ball. Basically because it was a group of soldiers. It's a group of soldiers firing a volley together. You know, so you have, you know, one group shooting while the other one is reloading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So usually they were organized. Okay. You've probably seen it in, you know, movies of that feature the American Revolution or even the Civil War, you know, where you have a line that shoots and a line that's crouching down, you know, reloading, and then they switch places, you know, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. So basically it's a platoon is either half or a third of a company that's firing at the same time.
Okay.
But one of the things here is that assumption is that there's, you know, there can't be more than 20 of them, because according to what we read earlier about a Huey can hold up to how many people?
13
people. And three of them are the crew. So basically that's 10. So it's a maximum of 20. The truth is we never know how many people are in Grant's group because, you know, they never state it. With Stewart's men, we know that there's exactly 12 of them. We saw them at the beginning when they showed up. And, you know, there's no question about that, of how many there are.
Yeah, because they do come in two helicopters, but that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody is in the group. You know what I mean? It could be like some guys unloading some stuff or, you know, any other thing. Doesn't necessarily have to be there.
Exactly. So it's anywhere between, you know, 10 and 20 at this point. My assumption is that there probably is 20 of them. You know, but maybe later in the movie when we see them in the truck, maybe then we can actually get a better count. But from here, we were not able to count how many of them there are. You know, but the assumption is and gotcha. It's funny that John will say, you know, just one platoon. You know, as opposed to a squad or a unit or whatever it is. You know, because
how would he know exactly. It's a platoon? Did they say a platoon was coming or did they just say military?
They just said a group of counter-terror, the army is sending counter-terrorists. So listen.
Some things aren't adding up.
But we'll have to wait and see how things play out here. Okay. Who knows? Yeah.
Indeedly. Indeedly so.
And, you know, after Grant gives him that, gives him the eyeball, basically the minute ends. And we'll have to wait until tomorrow to hear what else he has to say about it. And one of the things I love is while Grant and John are having this conversation, they give us shots of Trudeau looking on and shots of Lorenzo looking on. Lorenzo looks pissed off. You know, he just does not look like he's happy that John is allowed to have this type of conversation. You know, why is John able to be here? You know, why is he able to do this?
Yeah, constantly too. Not just like, oh, popped in and out, but he's there. Like, I feel like every time he turns around, John is just there, and he's like, oh, great, more of this. That's
right. Yeah. So you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
I do. There's a moment when the helicopters are landing, and you can kind of see in the background windows and people looking out the windows. That's gate E7. You have people looking out the window. Wouldn't they start to get suspicious? Wouldn't you start to hear like murmurs and rumors throughout the airport? Or would there not be like a bigger crowd of people like, hey, look, helicopters are landing, and then everybody comes out to take a look?
That's a great observation. I didn't even think about that. You know, I did notice the E7, and I actually wrote it down in my notes that they're next to gate E7. And I didn't have time to look at a map of Dulles to see where E7 is. That was one of the things I wanted to do, but I didn't notice the fact that there were people there. I didn't even think about that. And you're right. People are looking out and they see these helicopters landing and they're probably saying, oh, that's so cool. They can have helicopters land, but planes are still circling around upstairs. Everything's been delayed.
Yeah. I'd be so annoyed if I'm them. I would be.
They're like,
so
what? Annoyed. Grandma couldn't come in on a helicopter. Now we have to wait here for her plane to land. You know, I know. Oh, that's a great, great observation. Mm. I didn't even think about the fact that there are people there. Yeah, very cool.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to say about this minute?
No, just that. Just the how that caught me off guard.
See, now it's catching me off guard because now I've noticed it. So thank you, Nick. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the script continues with the description from yesterday. You know, we talked about the helicopters dancing. So the helicopters dancing through the air towards us and set down with a roar, their backwash, creating a Yukon-like storm. Yukon-like, isn't that great? Dennis is waiting here. Are Trudeau, the Justice Department men we saw earlier, Lorenzo worried about his status, and McLean, plain worried. As the rotors keep turning, soldiers and the chopper crews hustle out of the choppers, the wind blowing over them and their equipment. A powerfully built major in his late 40s walks forward past the waiting men like someone in a receiving line. Everyone shouts over the noise. Grant, we're the Triple T's. I'm Major Grant. It's funny that they call them the Triple T's. I don't know what that's supposed to stand for. Then the justice man formally says Rollins, Department of Justice. Trudeau politely says Trudeau, Chief of Air Operations. Lorenzo, ass-kissing. Lorenzo, Terminal Police. You want something? You got it. McLean, unimpressed. This is it? A dozen men? Pause. Grant stops, looks at him. One crisis, one dozen. Who are you? John McLean. So first of all, I like the fact that they mentioned in the script that it's one dozen. Because that point, you know, according to the script, we know exactly how many men there are. As opposed to in the movie where they say right. Platoon and they leave it, you know, opened. It's open, you know, open-ended. And then Grant says, McLean, oh yeah, you're the one who tried to save that plane tonight. You showed some balls out there, McLean. Now show some sense and let the pros handle things. So in the script, they actually let us know that he is referring to the plane.
Okay. And I wonder why they made that adjustment then from dozen to platoon, because I feel like as it's written, works just fine.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't know. It could be something that you know, Bruce Willis decided to just change it and that's it. Don't know.
Could be.
And then McLean says, unfortunately, the pros are on the other side. Colonel Stewart is one of your boys. And then Grant tightly says, not anymore. He's not. Gentlemen, we are here to take down Colonel Stewart, and we will take him down. You see, I served with him, and I taught him everything he knows. Then McLean says, yeah, but what if he took some night courses? Grant reacts and recovers. All right, men, hustle. So yeah, I like the way that they do it in the movie a little better. I don't know about the whole idea of night courses. You know, the joke just doesn't work, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, I see that.
You know, so. All right, so every Thursday we have a segment called Aviation Thursday, where my guests will give their top five movies that are somehow related to aviation, whether it could be an airplane, could be a spacecraft, or, you know, something that happens in an airport. Who knows? So, Nick, what have you got for us?
I have five of them, obviously. My number five is Flight Plan. It's a Jodie Foster movie that came out a couple years ago or so. And I don't know what it is about it. It's not a particularly good film, but it's
it keeps me intrigued.
It is. It just it just keeps me intrigued. And even though I know what's coming, twists and turns and stuff, I just really enjoy it. And I just enjoy it. My number four pick, Con Air. Something that I know Jay and Mark over on the Con Air podcast are going to appreciate.
Yeah,
number three, Air Force One. Yeah. Number three, Air Force One, just a fun time, and it's a classic. Number two is Airport. I have a big soft spot for that with George Kennedy as Joe Petroni. Like, it's a great movie. And then number one is Airplane, the Leslie Nielsen comedy spoof film. It's one of the greatest comedies of all time. I never laughed harder in my life. It's just – every time I watch it, I laugh. It's like one of my Shawshank redemptions. You know, Shawshank is on and most people, I got to finish watching it. It's the same with Airplane. I don't care what part of the movie it's on, I'm going to finish watching it.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, it's and having, like, for me, for instance, one of the reasons I love Airplane is because I've seen so many of the movies that it spoofs. So it makes it that much more fun to watch it because you're like, oh, that's from this and that's from that and that's from, you know. They do that. So yeah, it's definitely a very fun movie. One of the best comedies of that genre. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. Cool.
And the Zuckers at the time were just, that was top of their game. That was absolute peak.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Nick, you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me over on Instagram at ThatRehack. I've been on a myriad of podcasts lately. The Lambcast, Movies, Films, and Flicks, Exploding Helicopter, my own podcast, obviously, Lyrical Innuendo. I don't want to say just search me, I'm out there, but just search me because I'm out there.
Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for a movie a minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter, or you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So, Nick, you feel like coming back tomorrow to finishing up the week?
I have to. There's no. I'm not just going to leave now. I got to come back tomorrow.
Okay. All right. I'll make room for you. I'll push someone else off. Absolutely. All right. So, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages here and